Again, we'd love for you to be a part of us as we go on a journey. So, hey, want to welcome you this morning. Pastor Dwayne told me to jump online or to type in the comments, Happy Easter. And so I thought I'd be cute by putting in to my peeps, Happy Easter. And just so you know, I caught it because it auto-corrected to my perps. And I was just like, that may not be too good. But hey, we want to welcome you this morning to my peeps, and I'll just leave it there. But hey, we are so glad to have you. We're glad that we get to celebrate together. God is so good, and we're just glad that we get to just join together and just have a great time because we have something worth celebrating. Before I begin, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who helped make the brunch or the continental breakfast possible. How many thought the food was amazing? Let's express our appreciation to all those who worked so hard. And we're so grateful. And again, as Pastor Dwayne noted, there is some stuff that if you want to take something on the way out this morning, you are welcome to do that. And but we're grateful. God is at work. God is doing something in our midst. And we believe that we have an opportunity to discover hope. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this idea of discovering hope. And today I want to talk about something to run to. Now, how many of you are runners? Where are the runners in the room? Any runners, raise your hand. Okay, these are the ones we're going to pray for in just a little bit. Have you ever seen a runner happy? That's always my thing. I'm driving down the road and I see someone running and it looks like it just hurts. And I'm like, yeah, maybe not. You know, but well, you're in the zone. I got to stay happy. There's something good at the end of this. But have you ever noticed that even if you're not a runner, sometimes you can find yourself running? And different things can cause us to run. So years ago, our children, all, you know, our older children decide to, you know, get old, grow up, and then, like, go away. And so we didn't want empty nest syndrome, so we tried to find a way to replace them. And so we got chickens. And that was actually kind of nice because if you have chickens, chickens are a beautiful, at least not the meat birds. The meat birds are kind of stupid. But the egg-laying ones, they're friendly. And what was great is because we would free-range them, and when we would come home and we'd come out and the birds, like the chickens, would come all happy and excited to see us. And they would run and cluck and wave their feathers as they ran toward us. And it was just like, and in some ways it was better than kids because you remember, well, at least you kids when they're young, they're glad when you come home. You get older and like, oh, it's just dad again, you know. But the chickens, like every time, it's like, you're like the best thing ever. Like, yay! And so happy to see us. Well, so one of our replacement, I mean, like, one of the child that we replaced, I won't say which one, is Emily. And she would come home, and Emily doesn't like chickens. Well, she likes the chickens behind the fence and stuff like that. It's when the chickens would be free-ranging, and they want to show her enormous affection and come running to her. And so it was always great because she would pull in the driveway, and she would sit in the car, and the birds would just wait. And then they would start moving, and she would get out of the car, and it was always great because you'd watch her. She'd be like, ah! And the birds would chase her to the door, and she'd get in and be safe, you know. And then, but it's interesting. There's lots of things that cause us to move. Some are things that excite us and bring us, like, incredible joy, you know, and it creates movement in our lives. Other times, there are things that we can experience that cause us to live a life, in a sense, on a run. They cause us to move. And sometimes we end up finding out that we are living our life running from things rather than running to things. And this morning, as we talk about something to run to, what I have found is that sometimes people are running from things, and they think, if I can just run from them, I can experience a better life. And some of the things we run from can include things like fears. That there are sometimes in our lives, there are things that we're afraid of, things that we think, you know, if we're not careful, it's going to intrude on our lives. You know, we've all come through times and experiences in our lives where we've experienced hurt and disappointment, and because of it, we're afraid of entering or experiencing that stuff again. And so sometimes we live a life where we're trying to run from the things that have hurt us in the past. Other times, We're running from things because there's a sense that there's a history that we're trying to escape. Now, anybody here ever done stupid things? Raise your hand. Anybody here done things you're not proud of? Anybody here done things you don't share with others? Right? Like, there are some things, like, I tell my kids some of the stupid things I've done, and I kind of laugh about it, like, you know, the time we thought we'd be like the Roadrunner, and we'd put gasoline down the sidewalk, you know, and then we would light it, and then run after it. Like that was, like, dumb stuff, and then, you know, getting the jerry can to catch fire, that was exciting, and then burning up my neighbor's lawn. There was lots of fun in that. You know, like, there's some of those stories that you know, like, okay, you know, that we were dumb. But then there's those stories of it's not just the dumb things we've done, but maybe it's the stuff we regret. The stuff that we're like going, you know what? These are pieces of my life I'm not proud of. These are the pieces in my life where maybe I caused an enormous hurt, or maybe I exercised, you know, a certain selfishness, and because of it, there's this shame that you carry with you. And we deal with regret sometimes, and sometimes in our living, we're trying to run and create some distance between our history, between us and our past, and our shame. So sometimes we find our lives on the run, not just because of our fears or our failures, but sometimes because of our frustrations. So sometimes we just have this sense that life isn't what it is that we were hoping or expecting. You know those disappointments, right? I remember hearing somebody once say, and I thought it was genius, that frustration is the gap that you experience between your expectations and your experiences. Like, You think about marriage, you come to marriage, and in marriage, you know, I've done enough premarital counseling, couples are usually, they have this great expectation and excitement, because how many know that when the wedding's done, they all live happily ever after? How many know that to be true? Yeah. All the husbands are like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say at this point. I just think I'm going to be quiet, and it'll keep me out of trouble, right? But it's interesting how even as people move into the beginning, you know, weddings are fun, marriages can be terribly hard. And you get into the marriage and you have this expectation, but your experience is so different and there's that dissonance. And there becomes a need to try and find, well, how do I create separation from that sense of disappointment, that sense of, you know, lost hopes, lost dreams. And what I find really interesting, that the stuff that we're running from can be really hard to shake. Like we can sometimes think, well maybe if I just run from this to this, and maybe it'll, something with it will change. Yet the problem with many of these things, whether it's our fears, our failures, or our frustrations, is they're tied to us. And so that even though I may find myself in a new situation, I still have the same fears. I still have the same sense of failures and frustration. And because of it, these things begin to impact our identity, our sense of significance, as well as the life that we inhabit. And this is why I think the story of Easter is so important, because Easter is really about the opportunity for us to find something that's greater than our fears, our failures, and our frustrations. That we can find something, that we don't have to live a life where we're running from these things, but we can actually discover there's something that we can run to, and in running to it, we begin to discover the life that we were created for. And so as we think about the Easter story this morning, the big idea I want to think around is simply this, that the resurrection of Jesus gives us something to run to. The resurrection of Jesus, it provides for us a hope that is greater than our fears, our failures, and our frustrations. So we're going to look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 this morning. And just so you know, John is the author of this gospel. He was one of the original 12 disciples. He's writing this so that others could experience the hope that he found in the person of Jesus. He even writes in John 20, 21, toward the end of this chapter, he says this, "But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one who brings the hope, he's the one that we've been waiting for, that he is the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." And so as we look through this, we're going to just note quickly three things about discovering hope this morning. And so this is the way the story begins in John chapter 20, verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, who happens to be John, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Now, as we think about the story, I want you to note something right off the bat. That hope began in an unexpected place and in an unexpected way. Now, for many of us, we've heard this story many, many times. This ain't our first rodeo. This ain't our first Easter. And we've heard this story, and sometimes we become so familiar to it, we miss the dissonance that happens right at the beginning. And that is that hope began in an unexpected place and in an unexpected way. On the first day, as Mary goes to the tomb, she ends up seeing that the stone is rolled away, and something happens in her. She goes from sadness, not to joy, but to horror. Like there's this sadness that she's been carrying because the one that she thought would be the one who would make everything right, the one who taught and his teaching just, you know, gripped the heart in a certain way, the one who would feed the multitudes, who would heal the sick, that this Jesus who changed lives, all of a sudden, in the course of a very short period of time, he was arrested, he was beaten, he was crucified, and he died. And if that wasn't bad enough, now, they've taken his body. Like, what more can you do to my Jesus? Like, you killed him. Wasn't that bad enough? Now you're stealing his body? You can just imagine the emotional tension that she's feeling. The cruelness. It's almost as if it would be hard to breathe. You ever been in those moments where things just happen and they so overwhelm, and it's hard sometimes even just to breathe? She runs to Peter. And her words, again, they are not words of joy. They are words of deep anguish. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they have put him. Like, we don't know. There's that uncertainty. This is why I say that hope began in an unexpected place and in an unexpected way. You see, I think that we need to recognize that sometimes that there is more to life than just what we expect. And even better than that, there is something greater than even our understanding and our experiences of what we think ought to happen. So just think with me, because Mary is functioning in a mindset and in a way that is very common to you and to me. It's the expected course of life. You live, you die, you go on. Like, how many know this is part of what life is? Like, you live, and then there's death, and then for those who didn't die, you just have to find a way to go on. That was the expectation. That's what she had as she comes to this, is you live, you die, you go on. And for them, I'm sure there was a sense that, yeah, death is inevitable, and now just how do we begin to find a way beyond this? How do we begin to move on? Yet God was up to something that was far greater than we can even begin to imagine. And what Jesus ends up doing, because he rises from the dead, he begins to reveal that there is a life that is even greater than death. You see, death entered into the human experience because of humanity's rejection of God, humanity's way of choosing, of saying to themselves, we know better than God how to experience the good life. Like, how many of our regrets began with, yeah, we know better? Anybody here have those moments? Like, we know better. I know what will make me happy. I know what will make me full. And so we think this is, I know what it is. And then we go and do it. And then we're like, going, good Lord, what was I thinking? And really, that's what is right at the core of sin, where we not just say it to, you know, maybe our parents. Because how many of you as kids ever said things to your parents? I know better than you. Or maybe, you know, to you know, whoever it is, I know better. But we also say it to God. God, I know better. And instead of setting life in motion, what ends up happening, death was set in motion. And there was no way by which humanity could call it back. There was no way to make it stop. And instead of finding something better, we found ourselves broken. With a brokenness that we can't repair. And this is the whole reason why Jesus came, because Jesus came to deal with, to rescue, redeem, and restore broken lives. Lives that have been impacted and ruined by sin. He came to pay sin's penalty, as well as overcome the power of death so that we can experience life, the life that we were created for. And so even as we think about Easter, please understand that hope begins in an unexpected place and in an unexpected way. And because of Jesus and his resurrection, there is a hope that we have that is greater than our fears, our failures, and our frustrations. An unexpected event allows us ultimately to experience an unexpected hope. And this is why we gather, because we believe that God still cares about us and that God wants better for us. Now, as the story goes on, beginning in verse 3, it says this. So the news comes, and it says, and Peter and the other disciples started toward the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I love this. How many of you are competitive? Or my competitive people? How do you know if you're competitive? When you play games, the reason you play is to win. How many play games to win? Okay, one of the hardest things as a dad with little kids learning skills, right? You're like, oh man, I can crush this kid. And you give them that false sense of hope that they can beat you, and you let them get close, but then you're like going, yeah, I ain't gonna lose. And boom, and you just, you know. So Matt and I, we're in a ping pong kind of, Matt's in a ping pong stage. So we play ping pong all the time. And very rarely does he win, because dad is a little competitive. Rachel, on the other hand, she just thinks playing is for the sake of playing, for having fun. But how many know playing is for winning? Can I get an amen? Come on now. Amen. I'm with my people. I feel so good, right? And so I love this story in the Bible, because it says that they both ran to the tomb to find out what's going on. And it says that John got there first. He's the author of the book. He's like going, hey, and by the way, we ran to the tomb, and just so you know, I won. You know, I love this. I'm like, I like this guy. Because if God can use a John, he can use a me, right? Like, I love this part, right? So anyways, they were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen that there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. And he saw the strips lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus, his head. And the cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And then finally, the other disciple, who is John, who had reached the tomb first, he wants to remind everybody, just so you know, I was there first, he also went inside. You know, I love this part, because it helps us understand that hope not only just arises in unexpected places and in unexpected ways, but hope is an invitation to experience something different. It's an invitation. You see, before this point, what we find of Peter and John is they are running, but instead of running to something, they're actually running from something. There's been an arrest in the garden with Jesus, and there's soldiers that came with clubs and swords and torches and all these things, and it says the disciples ran in fear. Peter, who ends up getting a little bit of courage, decides to follow Jesus to watch what happens. And as he is watching all the events unfold, he watches as the people come up to him and said, "Hey, weren't you with Jesus?" And if you remember, three times Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Jesus had said, "Listen, before this night is over, before the rooster crows, you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me three times." And after the third time when he says, "I don't know him," the rooster crows, and it's recorded that Peter just, he was just crushed on the inside. And he's running from his failure. He's running from his fears. He's running from his failures. There's this sense of he's running from, but with Easter, instead of running from something, he begins to run to something. And so we see him and John running to the tomb. They're running there to see what is going on, and they find the tomb is opened. Now, the reason why the tomb is opened is not so that Jesus could get out, but so that others could look in. The stone was rolled away. That Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away for him to get out, to rise from the dead. But it was opened so that you and I might have a place to run to find hope. This is why I say that hope is an invitation to experience something different. Now, as noted in the account, they didn't get there at the same time. Like, it's an interesting story because John gets there first and he just wants to remind everybody, "I got there first." Peter was second. John, though, didn't want to go in. He just wanted to look in. Peter walked in and then John walked in. And I think it's important for us to understand that, you know what, sometimes we get there at different times. Some of us, when it comes to the story of Jesus, it's been years ago since we made the decision to come to Jesus. For others, it may just be a few days. For some of you, you may not have got there yet. You may be hanging outside and you really haven't stepped into this hope that God is offering. But I want you to know the important thing isn't when you get there. It's just that you get there. See, I think part of the question that Jesus, that Easter invites us to really consider is this, is do we continue to run from our fears? Do we continue to run from our failures and our frustrations? Or do we try something different? You see, what Jesus has done, he gives us an opportunity to experience something far greater than we ever deserve and greater than we even imagine possible. You see, because of Jesus' triumph over the grave, because he rose from the dead, we can find a peace that is greater than our fears. See, many, many people, and we've walked through a season as a nation for 2 years where fear has affected people's emotions and interactions, and fear has raged. Yet there's a peace that Jesus offers. Even in the midst of uncertain times and uncertain futures, so that we don't have to be crippled by fear, whether it's being paralyzed by it, whether it means running from things, or even causing us to fight sometimes, but simply to be at peace. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection, we have the opportunity to experience separation from our failures. Like our deepest regrets, our deepest shames, those things that we're having a hard time finding separation from. Because of what Christ did on the cross, there is a freedom that we can find. An opportunity for new beginnings. An opportunity to be transformed so that we don't have to be defined by our yesterdays or our experiences. That we can discover life. You see, it's in Jesus that we begin to find the things that our hearts are really longing for. And Easter, this hope, is an invitation to experience something different. The question is what are we going to do with it? Are we just going to stand back and look at it, or is it going to be something that we run to? After John walks into the tomb, I love what it says next. It says he saw and believed. And then right after it, there's this parenthetical thought. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Did you catch that? He saw and believed, but he didn't understand. You know what I love about this? For hope to begin to change us, you don't have to have it all figured out. You know, sometimes we think, if I'm going to believe, I got to have it all figured out. How many of you, you like, before you believe something, you're like, I got to have it all figured out. Only to find out that, boy, I never get it all figured out. And in never getting it all figured out, you can miss out on so much. Like, how many of you figured out what women want when you husbands? I won't go there. How many of you wives figured out what your husband wants? Yeah, that's an easy read. Anyways. But you don't have to have it all figured out. He just began to believe. He just began to believe. Didn't understand it all. Just began to believe. And beginning to believe set in motion a profound change. All his questions weren't answered. Yet in that moment, he recognized that something happened, something that could change everything. You know, as we sit here at Easter time, as we reflect on this amazing story, I know sometimes there's lots of questions. But more than just the answers to the questions, it's an invitation for something new to begin. And the way it begins is just to begin to believe. It starts with believing. It's believing this, and I'll tell you this is how it begins. It begins with believing that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that they have the power to begin to change everything about me, in the world around me. It's about beginning to believe that there is someone greater than my fears. Someone has the ability to speak peace to the storms. It's beginning to believe that there is one who loves us more than our failures. The reason many times we don't want to share our failures or our regrets or our shames is because we think if people knew what it is we've done, what it is we've said, they wouldn't want me. Can I tell you something? God saw every moment, has seen every moment of your life, not just your best days, but your worst days. He has seen your highest moments. He's seen your lowest moments. And guess what? He still loves you. To begin to believe that there's a God who loves me, not just on my good days, but also on my bad days. Because I know sometimes I have bad days. I have less than stellar moments, yet God doesn't give up on us because we have bad days. It's beginning to believe that there's someone who loves us greater than our failures. And if he can love us greater than our failures, we can begin to find a freedom to live the life we were created for. Not only that, it's about believing that we were created for more than just frustration. I want you to know that you were created for life. You weren't created just so that you can just, you know, be disappointed. You weren't created just so that you can, in a sense, have something presented before you that's good and then just have it snatched away. It's kind of like Lucy in the football. You know, the famous Peanuts cartoon that Lucy's like, come on, kick it this time. I'll hold it. Every time Charlie Brown goes to kick the ball, it's pulled away from her. Listen, I want you to understand that he comes to offer us life, to give us an experience that's far greater than we deserve and even greater than we imagine. And just so you know, because it comes in an unexpected way and sometimes in an unexpected manner, Sometimes it's not always going to jive or align with what we thought it was going to be. But let me just give you just a little insight to this. You'll find out that what God has for us is better than we even thought or imagined. You see, it begins with believing. It begins with believing. And when it comes to this life of transformation, it has to start somewhere. It has to start at some time. For me, my journey really changed when I was 17 years old. I remember as a kid, I grew up in a pastor's home, and so I knew all the stories. I knew my Bible. I knew all that stuff. Yet there was a part of me that wanted to do my own thing, my own way. And as a result of it, I ended up making some stupid decisions. Stupid decisions. And I remember as a young man, like when I was 17, I was really wrestling with like identity stuff, with foolishness. All, you know, I believe God was gracious enough to me to give me the ability to see beyond my moment and see where it was that my life was heading. And in that moment, I recognized that my end was not going to be good. Yet God in His grace invited me to experience something that changed everything for me. And I remember as a 17-year-old kid at youth camp, and one of the reasons I had gone to youth camp was just because that's where the girls are. And I remember being in the service, sitting in the third row, and hearing someone talk about the fact that if you don't deal with the sin issue in your life, it will end up destroying you. And I just remember him saying, listen, but God loves you more than your sin, and that there's a God who wants to change you. And for me, I began believing. Didn't understand everything, but I decided it was time. And I got to tell you, I live far better than I ever deserve because of God's grace to me. Hasn't always gone how I hoped and expected, but I want to tell you, I'd make that decision all over again in a heartbeat. Because the empty tomb changes everything. And my life doesn't have to be lived based on my fears, though I still have some. It doesn't have to be defined by my failures, though I still do them. And it doesn't have to be defined by my frustrations, because I sometimes have them. But it's an invitation to begin to believe. And that's what Easter is all about. It's an opportunity to begin to believe. And you don't have to have it all figured out. I still don't have it all figured out. And in those moments I don't have it figured out, I just keep going back to the same things. I believe there is one that is greater than my fear. I believe there's one that's greater than my failures. I believe there is one that's greater than my frustration. And He's come that I might have life, life to the full. This is why I say the resurrection of Jesus gives us something to run to. I don't have to run from my fears anymore. I don't have to run from my failures. I don't have to run from my frustrations. I can run to Jesus. Because He is alive, and He's still the God who changes life. And this Easter, I think, again, it's our opportunity. I don't care how long you've been a part of church, how many times you've heard this message. It's our opportunity to respond and to begin again, to discover hope, to begin something. I always think it begins with the decision. It's the recognition that, you know what? It's time to believe. Like maybe you've been wrestling with some fears lately, and the fears have just been weighing heavy on your heart. Maybe it's fears about the future. Maybe you're getting ready to graduate, and you're like, what's next? Maybe you're like going, I'm not even sure what I want. Maybe you're in the midst of a relationship that just, you're not sure where it's going to go, and there's that uncertainty and anxiety. Maybe there's parts where you've allowed yourself to become incredibly vulnerable, and you know that, boy, I, It looks as though I'm about to get really hurt. It's an opportunity to begin. To say, you know what? I'm going to believe that there's one who's greater than my fears. And I'm going to move to him. Maybe you're dealing with some of your failures. You're trying to overcome the scripting, overcome that self-talk that's going on because of the things you have done, the things that you say, if people knew this, they wouldn't love me, they wouldn't like me. You just, whatever that self-talk is, I want you to know there is one who is greater than our failures. And there is one who is greater than our frustrations. And I believe it just begins with a prayer. In just a moment, that's what we're going to do. We're going to give an opportunity. We're just going to pray. We're going to say, God, it's time to begin. No matter what you're wrestling with. Because the resurrection of Jesus gives us something to run to. And even though we may not have all the answers, I believe part of what's next is we begin to make a decision. We begin to say, okay, God, would you help me learn more about who Jesus is? Because when we begin to discover who Jesus is and what he has done, and we begin to bring our lives in line with his teaching, it's crazy how all of a sudden there's a transformation that begins to change in our hearts and our lives. We begin to love differently. We begin to relate with our world differently. We begin to see greater purpose and greater meaning in the things that we're going through. This is why, as a church, we want to invite you to join us as we go on a journey. To discover who Jesus is and what it is that he's calling us to. And listen, it's going to be like 7 weeks. There's things you can do on the app. It's an opportunity to say, hey, for the next, you know what, almost 50 days, we're just going to kind of reflect on who Jesus is. Because as we learn about him, it changes us. We're going to run towards something new. Again, there's the decision piece. There's learning more. But I also think it's about growing in community. How many know life is hard, but God is good? And part of his goodness to us is people who come around us to support us, to encourage us. I want you to know in this church, it is filled with a whole lot of imperfect people. Can I get an amen? Starting with the pastor, can I get an amen? It shouldn't have been as loud, but but listen, we're all learning in this journey. And I'm convinced that we need one another to support one another, to encourage one another, because there is a hope that changes everything. So as we close, the resurrection of Jesus gives us something to run to. Aren't you tired of running from things? Are you tired of running from your fears? I'm tired of running from your failures? I'm tired of running from your frustrations? Jesus invites us to experience the power of the empty tomb. He invites us to experience his love and his grace. Hope always or often begins in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. Yet hope is an invitation. It's an invitation to experience something different. Do we stay where we're at, or do we run toward it? And the good news is you don't have to have it all figured out to begin. You just begin. You just begin to believe. There is one who's greater than my fears, one greater than my failures, one greater than my frustrations. Because in choosing him, we discover a hope that is alive and a hope that changes everything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that your hope for us is alive. Lord, death could not hold you. Lord, you see where each one of us are at. You see the struggles that go on deep inside us. Lord, you see the fears we wrestle with. Lord, you see the failures, those moments in our lives where we have profound regret, shame, and embarrassment. Lord, you see those frustrations that that overwhelm and sometimes hijack the way we interact with others, the way we live out our lives. Yet, Lord, you offer us a hope. The hope of an empty tomb. The hope of one who is greater than death, one greater than fear, one greater than our failures, and one greater than our frustrations. And Lord, we may not have all the answers, but Lord, we're courageous enough to begin to believe. And so, Lord, that's what we choose today. To believe in you, the one who is alive, the one who changes everything. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe you're here today and you've been battling with fears and failure and frustrations, and you're just saying, hey, you know what, today I am just making the decision today to begin to believe in the one who has the power even over the grave, the one who can bring beauty out of the ugly. I want to begin to believe. I choose to begin to believe today. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. See those hands and those ones. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Lord Jesus, you see these hands. Lord, you see the areas where grace needs to meet. And Lord, even now in Jesus' name, Lord, we join our faith. Lord, we believe for you to begin to sovereignly work and intervene to touch and to change our lives. You're the God of the amazing. I thank you that you still amaze us. For you're our hope, our living hope. Thank you for piercing the darkness with your light. Thank you for bridging the gap. Lord, thank you for bringing us life. In Jesus' name.